אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום, אוסטרליה. After Prime Minister's Office Acting Director General Ronen Peretz and Prime Minister Netanyahu's Special Envoy to the Arab World, nicknamed Maoz, traveled to Sudan earlier in the week, US President Donald Trump announced on Friday that Israel and Sudan had agreed to make peace. With the leaders of Israel and Sudan on the phone and reporters inside the Oval Office, Trump predicted peace throughout the Middle East and wider region, including between Israel and even Iran, in a unified family as never before. Prime Minister Netanyahu called the announcement of the third Arab country in a matter of weeks to normalize relations mind-boggling. He said it changes the lives of people. We're not engaging in bloodshed. We're not engaging in antagonism. We're engaging in cooperation for the present and future, and added, we've never seen anything like this. Netanyahu noted that while Iran is unhappy, Hezbollah is unhappy, Hamas is unhappy with a series of accords, but most everyone else is very happy, and they should be, because peace is a good thing. Following the announcement, however, Sudan's acting foreign minister said the agreement still depends on approval from the Sudanese Legislative Council, which has not yet been formed. The Sudanese government is led by a civilian prime minister, Abdallah Hamdok, and military general Abdel Fattah Abdulrahman al-Burhan, who took over control after a popular uprising last year led the military to overthrow longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir. Elections for the Legislative Council are due at the end of 2022. Several key Sudanese political parties, including the country's largest party, National Umma Party, announced their opposition to the country's decision to normalize relations with Israel. Yesterday, there were sporadic demonstrations against the deal in Khartoum, including one where an Israeli flag was burned. After the joint phone call, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, spoke to his Sudanese counterpart, Omar Mohammed Ahmed Siddiq. Erdan and Siddiq agreed to meet in the coming days to discuss cooperation at the UN in the fields of technology, agriculture, trade and tourism. Speaking of the recently signed agreements with the UAE, Bahrain and now possibly Sudan, Erdan said, I will act immediately to translate these agreements into cooperation here at the UN. I will show the organization's member states that it's better to be on the side of Israel and not on the side that condemns peace and acts against us. Israel and Bahrain signed a formal deal for regular flights between the two countries on Wednesday. Two rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip at Ashkelon and nearby communities north of the Gaza Strip on Thursday night. Single rockets were also fired on Tuesday and Friday. Tuesday's rocket attack occurred hours after the military announced it had uncovered a Hamas attack tunnel inside Israeli territory that had been dug from the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis towards the Israeli community of Kibbutz Kisufim. The tunnel was blocked by the underground concrete barrier around Gaza that Israel is constructing. The national lockdown has slowed the rate of coronavirus infections, although numbers are still too high. There were 330 new cases yesterday. 309,000 Israelis have contracted COVID-19, of whom 290 have recovered. 2,329 people have died from the virus. Currently, 226 patients are on ventilators, not a large drop despite the slowing infection rate. Actor, director and producer Yehuda Bar-Kan died yesterday at the age of 75 after a battle with COVID-19. Bar-Kan was best known for his appearances in Israeli comedy cult classics from the 1970s, such as Charlie Vachetzi, Chagiga Besnuka, as well as in the 1990s Abba Ganouf films. President Reuven Rivlin said the country would remember him fondly. U.S. pharmaceutical company Moderna's chief medical officer, Dr. Tal Zaks, who is an Israeli, announced on Thursday that its coronavirus vaccine will become available in Israel by mid-2021. 9 influential health researchers claimed on Thursday that government research that said that children are more likely than adults to contract the coronavirus is fundamentally flawed. The report was submitted as part of the debate on whether and how schools can reopen for grades 1 to 3 on the 1st of November as currently scheduled. The Corona Cabinet continues to be divided. A decision is expected in the next day or two. Education Minister Yoav Gallant has warned that opening in capsules, which is the current demand from the Cabinet, would cost around 6 billion shekel and would take up to 5 weeks to implement from the time the money was secured. The Finance Ministry has said it won't pay for the plan. The Bank of Israel's Monetary Committee made a surprise decision last week to leave the interest rate unchanged at 0.1% after it was widely expected to lower it to 0% due to the economic crisis caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Thousands of Israelis gathered last night at intersections and overpasses throughout the country for the latest mass protests against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his government. This was the 18th weekend of demonstrations calling on Netanyahu to resign over his corruption trial and handling of the coronavirus pandemic. There were large rallies outside Netanyahu's official residence in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv's Rabin Square, and near Netanyahu's home in Caesarea, and smaller ones in over 1,000 locations across the country. On Tuesday, a 34-year-old man was charged over a pepper spray attack on protesters in Ramat Gan earlier this year. A day earlier, a Tel Aviv man was indicted for the violent assault of anti-government protesters over the weekend. Before that, 20-year-old Felix Eliav was indicted for the attempted stabbing of a protester in July. On Wednesday, a homeless man in Haifa was sentenced to 8 months in prison for attacking anti-Netanyahu protesters, marking the first time someone has been sentenced for attacking demonstrators against the Prime Minister. An indictment was filed on Thursday against another man accused of pepper spraying anti-Netanyahu protesters during a rally in Jaffa earlier this month. There were more reports of similar violence last night. The Yesh Din rights group claimed on Thursday that settlers attempted to damage equipment in the Palestinian town of Kariut before stealing most of the olives at the height of the harvest. According to Yesh Din, 26 settler attacks on Palestinians and their property have taken place since the beginning of the current harvest season. So far, more than 400 trees have been cut down and about 50 set on fire. The Knesset plenum on Wednesday voted to form a parliamentary inquiry into a major corruption scandal that has included several close associates of Prime Minister Netanyahu. But the vote was nullified a few minutes later. Knesset Speaker Yariv Levin, a member of Netanyahu's Likud party, cancelled the original vote on a technicality, enraging opposition members. Levin said that some MKs, including himself, hadn't heard the announcement by Deputy Knesset Speaker Mansour Abbas that voting had begun. MK from Meretz, Tamar Zandberg, the proposer of the motion, said there is no way we will allow the vote to be stolen. Her party's leader, Nitzan Horowitz, said it was a complete disgrace. There's never been anything like it in the Knesset. Horowitz followed up by saying they would appeal the decision in the High Court. Opposition leader Yair Lapid said he had never seen a Knesset vote cancelled after it had been held, and nor had any Knesset veterans with whom he spoke. He said, if you cancel votes, you can close the Knesset. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.